Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
So while it isn't Shark Week,
it's always Shark Week in our hearts.
Yeah. I live every week like it was Shark Week. On Sea of Thieves, it is Shark Week. So Tass is not at the table right now because I was editing Tales from the Omniverse last night and I did not get into Sea of Thieves. And there are like daily routines you have to do. And one of them is from the movie Jaws where you got to blow up a shark with a powder keg. And he was the one who said me first when I said, okay, who wants to do this while we record the intro? So if you hear random pirate sounds in the background or an explosion, then a cheer, know that we were successful in the allotted time for the intro. He's collecting a whole lot of powder kegs. That's a lot.
This seems like overkill. I can't wait.
So we talked a couple of weeks ago about the live show that we had still planned on doing it. Obviously, that has changed if you've been watching the news. Indianapolis has banned gatherings of 50 people or more. So we have gotten the official word from the theater that we won't be doing the live show on April the 12th. But we are still planning on doing it as a live stream. All of the guests are still going to be around. So we're going to get together here and we're going to do it as a live stream. It'll be Jake running a game. And it'll be a special little story. We'll have a couple guests and we're actually going to have a couple of giveaways and new product releases during the stream itself. So again, that'll be Sunday, April the 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern. It might run till 5 or so. Who knows?
We just want your whole Easter is what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah. For those of you who are stuck at home and can't go to your Easter plans, come watch Carolyn throw a bear trap at a monster. That doesn't make sense for a lot of people. But if you've watched a previous stream, Carolyn, who never has played role-playing games in her life until she played some Monster of the Week after running Investigate the History for a while, and she's always like, oh, I don't know what to do. I can't. There's nothing I can do. Can I throw this bear trap at the creature? And it always works out really well for her.
Yeah, a lot of her deaths are very gruesome.
Very gruesome. Yeah. Very animated.
Yeah.
So again, that is twitch.tv/thecritshow, and that will be on April 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern. And we will also remember to record it and put it on our YouTube channel.
Yes, that is our
new habit.
To press the record button.
Yes, that is our new habit. Speaking of hitting the record button, we will be recording that Twitch and putting it out as a live episode. So we will capture the audio. I'll edit that down and we will also release that as a live show. Tass, how's the progress over there?
Getting set up.
Okay.
Kill.
I can't decide if we stop and move on with our lives, or do I just drag out the intro
till he finally gets some progress
going
on?
Yeah, so that we hear the success.
It's going to be easily, I'd say, another 4 minutes before he even sees a shark. So
yeah,
that's fair.
You got to swim around a lot before they decide to even.
Yeah, let's pick a duet and burn through that real quick.
I mean, you could tell the tale of Jake the horse.
I'm sorry,
Jake the horse. Yes.
Of
do you remember?
Of Jake the dog whisperer. It's been like, what, 5 days in a row now where every day you've come home with a new dog?
Oh, like every other week, at least. We find dogs all the time. We found another one, and we did a chase, and it ran around a very busy intersection in a full 360, crossing every street possible, dodging cars like Frogger, and ultimately ended with me and another dude climbing on top of the 8-foot-tall pallets of mulch behind a Home Depot to try and get a bird's eye view on this dog that had run in between them. But us and a handful of other strangers and various fishing nets and car implements managed to flush this dog out, and now it lives at our house for
I
now.
Knew that somehow you would like involve some kind of fishing or sailor type thing within this.
That wasn't my contribution. Some guy yeah. pulled up with a boat on a trailer and was like, "Are you chasing that dog?" Yeah, and he's like, "Do you think a fishing net would help?" I was like, "I don't see why not."
The narrative of this, like, chasing down this dog and all these tools it took to get. Now, after the fact, now that this dog has been captured, do tell us its size and weight. Because it sounds like you're chasing a very dangerous dog.
No, it's a miniature schnauzer.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, maybe 20 pounds. Yeah. And
Harvey is 19, if that gives you a frame of reference.
Yeah, right about Harvey size.
Okay. I'm sorry, Harvey, that I just gave your weight to everybody. He looks super insulted. As you can tell, we are, I don't want to say that, we're a little more relaxed today. We're enjoying the time that we are together because obviously we're not getting to see a lot of people very often, not even each other as much because of everything that's going on. So, you know, with that said, thank you for all of the messages we have gotten from people asking if we are still going to be able to do the show. We do have kind of contingencies in place so that we can continue to put out the show, but we are certainly set for the next couple weeks at least. And like I said, we've got some contingencies in place to make sure that we can keep recording. Part of the way that we have been dealing with the isolation is just streaming. We have been streaming way more. We've been streaming a ton of Sea of Thieves. Tass has been getting on there and doing some Ark. I have been doing some, I can't remember what it's called, the Goo game.
World of Goo
and Polybridge. I actually might start I have not played it yet. I haven't even opened it, but I have Pathfinder Kingmaker. I have not played a game like that in forever, though. So again, just like with the live streams, if you are not following us, you can go to twitch.tv/thecritshow and get notifications whenever we're streaming. Our intent is still to do End of Days this Friday. That is the 27th of March. I believe that'll be at 9:00. If we find out that we cannot do that, we'll still stream something and it will probably still be from the same space. And so that'll be actually the finale for End of Days.
Oh, we got a shark.
Oh,
we got a shark on camera.
Speaking of End of Days, Tass is too far away from his barrel.
Don't goof this up, Tass.
Or else you have to redo the whole intro.
Oh, you didn't kill him. Oh, come on.
It's alive. But he's got another barrel.
Oh, he's got like two or three barrels.
Here comes. Smile, you son of a...
Hey!
Got him on the second one.
And
nice
with
job.
That, it's time to let the recap roll.
I want it to where once we destroy the Macbeth book, that it destroys all the soul bats.
I don't think that there's any way you could destroy them all.
Well, we have the ability to banish a spirit or a curse from a place or object or a person. So is there any way we could do that on a more massive level with the soul bats?
If you used this as a component of that, I mean, that would have to be worldwide magic. Like, you would have to create a summoning circle that rounded the earth to hit everywhere.
What about the ley lines?
Use them as the summoning circle if you could find a central point. I don't know. I never spent any time with ley lines. I don't even know that. Like, I mean, I know that they're real, but I've never encountered one before. Have you?
Yeah. Actually, it was our first mission in the basement of the Halifax.
The interior of the helicopter starts to glow red and pulse.
What is that?
That means that there's something close by, and I don't want to overpaint it, but each of these walls is designed to glow when there's something coming from that one direction. And he walks to the front of the helicopter and turns on a bank of monitors. And as they crackle into view, you can see it's very dark. But there must be color in the monitors, because the thing that you do see as you look across these 12, 13 monitors that cover every direction outside the helicopter are rows and rows of glowing yellow eyes. Everett has turned on the monitors after the wards have gone off, signaling that there is something approaching. And in all of the monitors, you see glowing yellow eyes. What's everybody doing?
I am immediately casting Bar a Place or Portal from Soulbats.
I don't think there's a role necessary for this. As you start to do it, the symbols around the helicopter start to light up, and you can tell that that's already been done here. Those were the symbols you saw Everett carving.
Awesome.
What the hell is this all about? Did you guys bring a party with you?
I thought I made it out free and clear.
Yeah, same. And we were like zipping along.
I don't know any other explanation. I'm sorry. It has to be. I did too. Like, I can move real fast, but apparently they can too. I'm so sorry.
You can save sorry for later. What the fuck are we going to do about it?
How do we get outside? If we open the door, does it break the wards?
Yeah. TJ, if you want to try that again on the door once we open it. But yeah, I mean, we got the door open. That means that the wards aren't working.
Yeah, I can absolutely do that.
How long do the wards last? Like, if these things attack in earnest, will they break down or can we wait till daylight?
I mean, it all depends on what they brought. You know, the wards will keep them physically away from it, but if they've got, I don't know, a grenade or a gun or something, that doesn't do shit.
Oh my God, I never even considered that.
I mean, they're people.
Yeah.
Oh God, we're gonna have to kill these people.
Wait. TJ, can you do the portal to the sun thing again and just scare all these things off?
Well, yeah, I mean, but it can't be inside here because otherwise it would just brighten this whole place up and whatever light escaped through the windows and out the back, that's it. If we want to light this place up, it's got to be outside.
Okay, so we can open the door and get out real quick and I can... Where would you make it? Where would you make the circle?
On top of the helicopter? And I'm looking over at Rev.
Yeah, there'd be enough room to do it, like, on the roof of the helicopter.
Cool.
Yeah, if we can get out, I can put you on top of the helicopter, and we've just got to play guard against Soulbats until you get it done.
Yeah, I can do that. You know, I'm built to fight these things. I think I can try to keep them off you.
And I think that as you're having this conversation, you're talking about being built to fight these things, Tass, and your eyes just drop to the gun that you have tucked into your waistband, and you can see that black energy is flickering, like it's starting to peter out. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning now, so it's been 6 hours.
Yeah. Oh shit, guys, and the gun. I haven't done anything with the gun.
But we were gonna try not to kill any more people.
I know. Let's do this.
I mean, you can just kill any damn thing with that, right?
That's the theory. So let's try this. Let's just do this. If there's no choice, if one of us is gonna go down, I'll use it. But otherwise, I'll just keep them off you. You get them up there, you make the damn circle, and you get them out of here.
Okay.
All right, so describe to me what the exit strategy here is.
Well, first we'll open up the back door, and then I will hit the bar, the portal spell, so that way the Soulbats can't enter in through the portal.
And then I'll just grab them under the armpits and zip them out the back and up onto the top.
And I'll create a circle on top of the Chinook, and... light this place up with the sun.
And what are you doing, Tass? Like, how are you defending here?
I guess I'm going to climb my happy ass on top of this helicopter and try to knock these things off if they jump up.
And to be fair, there is...
To be fair.
There is a ladder built into the side of the Chinook, so...
Okay, very good. Then, yeah, that.
All right, so TJ, roll use magic as Everett starts to lower the door to the Chinook.
That is a 12.
Nice.
All right. Everett opens the door and you cast this spell and you can see this very thin layer of magic appear, almost like someone has just laid saran wrap over the door coming in to the helicopter.
All right. Go.
I'll scoop him up and fly him up there.
All right. Whee! I don't think there's a roll necessary for that.
Oh, thank God.
Tass, roll act under pressure, though, to get outside. These Soulbats are starting to move in once they see movement, and you're going to try to climb up this ladder.
Okay. 11.
Yeah, no problem. You're able to step outside and run to the side of the Chinook and leap into the air, grab like 3 or 4 rungs up and pull yourself to the top. So TJ, you start to lay out the circle. Tass and Jake, you have taken up position around TJ and you hear company starting to climb up the side of the helicopter.
I'm going to use Jinx.
Roll it.
Jake, why are you delaying?
I can't.
The inevitable.
God, I can't believe it. 6.
How many hold do I get?
Nobody can help me with Jinx, can they?
I wouldn't think so.
No.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I could possibly help him with Jinx.
Yeah, but your focus is elsewhere right now.
Yeah.
You get 2 hold against me.
And it's to give...
Give -1 forward, give +1 forward, interfere with what I'm trying to do, inflict 1 harm, I find something that someone's left, or I lose something that someone will find.
Okay.
I am just kind of circling TJ wherever I can hear something closest, and I'm ready to try to just bat them off the side of this if they get close to him.
So do we think this is going to be a act under pressure to knock one away, or are you trying to like intercept a hit for TJ?
I mean, really, yeah, like intercepting any hits for TJ is my priority, but obviously I'm not sure if they're coming for me, if they see what he's doing and are coming for him.
Yeah, they don't seem to have a sense for what he's doing, so I think they are just coming up here in earnest.
Sure, sure. So yeah, that's my priority. If anything is going for him, that's what I want to stop. But obviously I'll defend myself if they get to me first.
Yeah, so they will get to you first as they climb up over the side. Roll act against the grain.
Oh, yeah.
To try to, yeah, push one of these off instead of kill them.
Yeah, all right. And that's
cool. Yeah.
7.
Ooh.
All right, so you're able to do it, but you do have a -1 forward. So roll act under pressure.
Okay. That's a 5.
God.
You know, this goes counterintuitive to the way that against the grain works. You know, we've established that when you fail against the grain, you get a dissonance point. Once you get 3 dissonance points, that your person can take over for a moment. But the fail on this act under pressure, you know, things go to hell. I think it's too fitting here for what you want in this moment for it not to be that in this second, the you from this world takes over for a minute and uses the mace to kill the soul bat that you were trying to stop.
Whew.
That you see just this flash of red in your vision, and the light mace creates a hole, spins around, and is slammed again. And this person falls off the helicopter into the ground. And so that this person has been killed, and it wasn't even to recharge the gun.
Oh, God. Yep. All right.
Jake, you have the same situation. There are 2 or 3 starting to crawl up this side. What are you doing?
I'm going to turn on my headlamp to max brightness and try and light one of these things up to make an opening so that I can bite it and drain some life.
All right, roll kick some ass.
10.
All right, what's your extra effect?
I'm just going to suffer less harm.
All right, so you suffer 1 point of damage as this soul bat climbs up and you lean down and burn away an opening on its neck with the headlamp. It lashes out at you and it deals 2 points of damage to you, but that would be 1 point with the less harm. And you also have...
Yeah, I suffer 1 harm less because I'm immortal.
Yeah, so you heal 1 point of damage.
Yes.
TJ, roll use magic.
All right. Here it comes. That's a 9.
Okay, what's your glitch?
I will take 1 harm, ignore armor.
All right, you deal 1 point of damage, and light pours out of this viewing portal and washes over a very long distance because you are just opening a window to the sun. This whole area is illuminated brightly, and the soul bats all around start to scatter as you see holes appearing in the black inky goo, and you start to see the people underneath. They are diving behind helicopters, under airplanes. Some of them are running off into the distance, just trying to get away from this. You have routed them.
I am just looking over the helicopter at the guy I just murdered.
The two of you come over and you see Tass looking over the edge of the helicopter and completely devoid of a soul bat is this man with a goatee and a shaved head laying dead.
God damn it.
What happened?
He took over.
You mean other Tass?
Yep.
Damn.
He caught my hesitation and he took his chance.
That sucks, but it's not your fault.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. We should probably go check on Everett and them, make sure no seal bats got inside, which they shouldn't have, but you never know.
Yeah, I'll hop down there and peek in the door. Everybody okay?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty bright.
Yeah, I'll climb down the side of the Chinook and I'll go inside.
And you do see as you climb down, you know, like all the Sobats are not gone. They're just hiding right now in shadows.
Right.
Is this going to hold until actual morning?
As far as I know, I have control over whether or not it turns off or not.
Yeah, you'd think it would last the next, you know, 3 hours till the sun comes up.
Yeah, I'm coming down too. I think just not wasting any time, just coming up into the chopper as well and making sure everybody's in and safe.
Yeah, as you come down off the helicopter, you see the same thing that TJ saw. There are partial soul bats, partial people hiding in shadows at various areas, you know, 50, 100 feet away from you.
Well, it seems like we've just bought ourselves an extra few hours. Should we just get out there and start working on the chopper?
Yeah, we could do that. The only question I've got is, you know, we usually sleep during the day. That's when it's safe. Obviously, we're going to be working now. But where are you planning to go tomorrow night?
I was thinking just somewhere super rural where there weren't a lot of people and so will not be a lot of soul bats.
So just fly the helicopter out into the country during the daylight hours and hope for the best.
I mean, yeah, take off while it's still light out and go find, you know, like a farmhouse on a bunch of acres or something where even if they did come, they'd be coming across open ground and we'd have line of sight on them and ride out that night and then take off again in the morning.
Yeah, all right. So we could theoretically sleep during the night then.
Hopefully, not all of us. You know, some of us will have to stay up and keep watch for sure, but the majority of us could get some sleep.
All right. So Everett and Scott and Eric gather their tools and start to head out of the helicopter.
Keep in mind, they aren't gone. They all found Shadow out there to hide in, so you'll probably still see some glowing yellow eyes, but they aren't willing to come out in the sunlight.
Oh, check the helicopter.
No, I'm gonna go do that.
You get over there, and sure enough, there's one inside.
Good call.
Thanks. I haven't stayed alive this long for nothing.
How did it get in?
Through the door.
Okay. I want to look in through the window. Go. I don't suppose I could convince you to get out of there, could I?
It is a older woman with red hair. No, I'm not just gonna go out into the light.
Wow, that's way more unsettling than I expected it to be.
Why don't you come in here? We'll have a good time.
No, you know I'm not going to step out of the light. I mimicked you. I mimicked what you did. Do you see?
Yeah, I didn't think your kind liked the light.
Don't put me in a box.
Put me in one.
How about I make you a shadow path? Cast some shadow so you can get out of the helicopter without having to be in the light.
Well, like all the way back to where the shadows are? Like, what the hell is that thing?
What is what thing?
All the light.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't do it.
Is this the world now? Is the whole place lit up?
As far as I know, that's not going away.
Well, then why would I just move to another spot when it seems like you want this one?
I don't know, because alternatively, I could just shine some lights in there to piss you off.
That's true. But I mean, if you're just going to hurt me, I'll take the sunlight to rip your face off.
Well, we can go that direction, and one of us might die, or I can just create you a nice path out of here, and we don't got to fight about it.
Roll manipulate someone.
Okay. 9.
Why don't you go find out how far this light goes, because if you're just moving me to another place, there's no real benefit for me. I'd like to get the hell out of here. I think we'd all like to get out of here.
Okay, I can tell you how far it goes, and I will kind of fly up in the air to get a bird's eye view and see how far it extends.
It extends in a circle about the length of a football field. You know, as it passes over things and starts to die down, you know, it would still be visible from much, much farther away. But the illuminated area is about the size of a football field.
All right, I'll go back down. About 100 yards in every direction.
Yeah, I'll go. We'll all go. Make us some kind of a little path to traverse and we'll just head back off into the night.
Oh, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know how to make shadow paths from everywhere that all of you are hiding.
Oh, she kicks her feet up on the chair and leans back. Better get to work then, figuring it out.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
I'm going to walk back over to the chopper that everybody's in. Hey, that Soulbat's a huge dick. She wants me to make shadow paths so that all of them can get out of here before she will willingly vacate the helicopter.
All right. I mean, if that's the only way they'll go, we got to figure it out or we can't fix this and there's an army of them tomorrow night.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I can get just a big something, go stand on top of the helicopter and, you know, block the light and just kind of slowly rotate so that it can pick all of them up into the shadow and, you know, they can be guided off, I guess. I could cast like a 40-foot swath or something and just as it goes over things they're hiding under, they can assimilate into it until it's somewhere they can leave.
Yeah, I mean, that works. That's great.
Good plan.
Yeah.
Everybody happy?
Best we're gonna get, man.
Solid.
All right. I just want to find something like anything, like mattress sized or something that I can hold up to make a sizable shadow here.
Yeah, I think that you can grab one of the mattresses off of the cots.
Perfect. Mattresses are mattress sized. That's a good, good call. Okay, I'll get up on top of the helicopter and I'm just going to yell out, okay, soul bats, I have struck a bargain with, sorry, what was your name?
Landara.
Did she look like the Landara that I know?
You'd be hard-pressed to call it because of, you know, being undead. But you could see a little bit of similarity, sure. The hairline, some of the facial structures.
Fuck. I mean, that doesn't make me less inclined to keep her alive. It makes me more inclined to keep her alive. I have struck a bargain with Landara to cover your exit. So I am going to cast a swath of shadow here that you can all get into, and I will steer it so that you can fuck off.
You hear like a couple of voices like, is that true? Landara, is what he's saying true? Yeah, that's right. No, we just meet up we'll go back home. All right, this sucks. Yeah, I don't want to live here anyway.
Yeah, I don't think this exactly went any of our ways, but you know, that's part of growth, is finding middle grounds.
All right, so you start to use this mattress to cast shadow, and it takes maybe 2 minutes for you to gather everybody up, and you start lifting the mattress so that it makes a shadow towards the edge of the light, and they all go. They do not hesitate, and as soon as they get almost past the point of where you can see where the shadow that you're creating connects with the shadows just of the night, they vanish into the night.
Okay, I'll go back down and replace the cot.
Okay.
Seemed like I did it, huh?
Yeah, they seem to be gone. I think we can get to work.
All right, I'm going to walk the opposite direction a little ways and see if I can deal with this gun situation.
So Everett and Scott and Eric head to the helicopter and set into work. TJ and Susanna and Sherry begin to compile the components for the spell and draw out the circle that will have to be used in the symbols. Jake, what are you going to do during this time? It's about 4 o'clock now by the time that you have dealt with all of this, gotten everybody into their proper position after moving the soul bats back out of the light.
I would like to have Alex walk me through how to operate this jet.
Okay. So Tash, you head off the other direction into the night. What are you looking for?
Well, I'm not 100% sure what all will work here. So really the first thing I come across, if it's a rabbit or a squirrel or hopefully, you know, like a deer, I mean, just anything that I know is still going to break my heart a little bit to kill, but, you know, I have to try something.
Grasshopper.
Yeah.
Roll sharp to try to find something.
Okay. 8.
So you wander for a little bit and you do come across a possum up in a tree that hisses down at you as you approach the tree.
Oh my gosh. OOC here, remind me to tell you about the possum wars that I had to deal with as a child. It's horrific stuff. But yeah, so in character, I think I see this possum and go, all right, yep, it's you. I'm sorry, bud. And I'm going to shoot it.
All right, you do. You point this gun up in the air and you fire. And the flicker on the gun slows. It doesn't turn back into that thick black aura that was around the gun. So you get the sense that the amount of charge that you get back is equivalent to the amount of life that you take. So since this was something small with not an overly long lifespan, that it didn't really satiate the gun's desire.
Shit. I guess I'm hunting for a while.
All right. So I think now that you know how this works and you know the size of the animal that you have to find, that you can spend some time to hunt down a bunch of smaller animals to get this charge up, or it's going to take some effort to try and track something larger.
Oh, boy. I think I'll put in a little more effort for one larger thing.
All right. So roll act under pressure. And I think it's going to have a -1 because you are spending spending the extra time to hunt something larger. And so this act under pressure is to not become the hunted now that you're out in the shadows with possible soul bats.
Well, yep, that gave me a little shiver. All righty. 8.
All right, so you can hunt something down large enough to refill the gun back to the 6 hours, but you're going to use up the bullets that you have to do it. So you'll have to find a way to find more bullets for this gun, or you're going to draw the attention of a soul bat that will pursue you as you travel back, or this hunting is going to scare away other larger animals in the future because they haven't heard gunshots here in a long time.
Oh, that's a hard choice. Those are very good. I think it's the soul bat following me.
All right, so you were able to track down a buck and get some shots into it and kill it. As you are heading back to the air museum, you hear the call of a wildcat off in the distance.
Oh, Jesus.
And back in the shadows, you can see very low these wide yellow eyes, and they are just sprinting in your direction.
Oh, no. Hey, I'm Ted Grant, the Wildcat from DC Comics, here to punch you to death.
I got bad news for you, Jake. Nobody knows who he is. I love him.
Except me.
And no one knows who he is.
I don't know who he is either.
Heavyweight boxer, champion turned superhero.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I do.
Trained Batman, trained
Black. Do you know him because Jake is dressed as him?
No, I know him because I've seen him in a couple of the cartoons.
Well, I guess I'm going to try to hit this thing.
All
right. If I see it with yellow eyes, it gives me the soul bat vibe, right?
It does, absolutely.
Yeah, shit. Okay, well, theory proved.
Roll kick some ass.
Okay. That's an 8.
You are able to hit this soul bat covered wildcat with the mace. You put a huge gash in its flank and it lashes out at you with its claws and it deals 2 points of damage, armor defeating.
Oof.
And it says, soul bat cat, 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 soul bat cat. And then Ash Ketchum walks up and says, there you are, puts it back in its pokeball.
I thought Jake had a stroke.
What is happening?
And it's still moving?
Yeah.
Damn, these guys are tough.
Yeah, they don't have the same kind of fragile anatomy that a human does.
Yeah.
There's not a good brain or heart spot for you to hit.
I am going to try to hit it again.
All right, roll kick some ass.
And I am unstable, by the way.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but here we go. 12.
Yeah, what's your extra effect?
Well, now that I know this thing can hurt me pretty good, I think I'll take less harm.
Okay, you are able to step to the side and swing this again at the open spot, and it falls to the ground dead.
Okay. I don't know that it makes a difference because I just did it, but after I open it up with the mace, can I finish it off with the gun?
Yes.
Just kind of like testing a theory. I assume it's, you know, resetting the timer the 2 minutes it's been, but...
Yeah, no. So instead of the mace, at the last second, you pull out the gun and shoot into the open hole that you had created, and the aura around the gun gets denser. It doesn't get larger, but it does... It almost makes the gun hard to see through the aura.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right. I'm going to limp my ass back then.
So, Tass, it takes you about an hour to get back. It's about 5 a.m. when you return, and you see everyone working exactly where you left them. Over the course of this hour coming back, I think that because you're unstable, you've taken another point of damage just in that exertion of all the energy to hike back here.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, TJ, you see Tass come into the back of the helicopter where you and Susanna and Sherry are working, and he has got a huge gash across his arm and part on his neck. He is covered in blood.
Oh, shit. I want to cast the healing spell on him.
We'll use magic.
And this is one of my practice spells, so I actually get a +4 for this.
Nice. Thank God.
Yeah, that's an 8.
Okay, what's your glitch?
It has a problematic side effect.
So you cast this healing magic onto Tass. Tass, you heal 2 points of damage and are stabilized, but you notice that the glow on the gun fades drastically. It seems like this spell, instead of feeding into just your health, it took the stored health from the gun and fed it into your body.
Son of every bitch. Ugh. Thank you, TJ. Thank you very much. I mean that. Son of a bitch. I'm going to give him a hug. I'm going to holster the gun.
In that order.
Yep.
In that
order. All right. Well, now I think I would want to go over to the guys working on the helicopter, just kind of check in and see what the progress is.
Okay. Yeah, you head over there and the three of them are actually testing the engine. Everett is inside firing it up, and Scott and Eric are outside, and they're making some adjustments on the blades once he stops it.
Hey guys, how's it going so far?
Oh, not too bad. I think we should be more than set. This thing, it's old, but they're pretty sturdy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know I don't know too much about this, but did you need anything, like extra pair of hands to hold this or that? Grab you some food? Anything at all?
Well, the only thing that would be is if you want to grab one of these two with you, head on inside, see if you can find the seats. I've only got the two buckets. We're going to need more than that unless you're all going to sit on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We can do that.
Yeah, so you go... Who are you taking? Who are you taking to the ball, Taz?
Eric.
Okay. So you grab Eric and you head into the hangar.
All right. I don't really know exactly what I'm looking for. I assume it'll be obvious.
Yeah, I think it's just a SKU number on the bottom of the seats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's it was in the book here, and he actually has a manual for it. And he kind of looks around for a moment, and then he points them out, and it takes you guys a couple minutes, but you grab the bench seats and take them back outside.
Okay. I'm sure I was a little paranoid, too, just in general, being in a building that could be blocked from the sun. So I'm like kind of covering him while we're going to make sure nobody is sneaked in to hide in here.
Yeah. While you're doing that, TJ, over with the magic group, you and Susanna and Sherry are laying out all of the elements of the spell that's required. And at this point, the conversation has turned to the setup of the spell. You know, it will take both of them helping you to cast this. You'll have to set it up around the ley line. You've got the pieces that you need. They've got all the symbols that they need. Do you have any questions for them about executing this, or any questions for yourself about executing this?
Well, I think I want to make sure that they get the hand gestures down, especially because that's going to be important. So I think it's just us doing just hand gesture movements, trying to sync it up and everything, trying to like get it timed out correctly and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we're playing music in the background to get us on beat with it and everything.
What's your song?
I feel like it's, what is that song? We Need a Hero.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
we're holding off for a hero. That song.
And with like each of the big brumps, you guys are striking a magical pose.
Yeah.
I see. Tass, I think you see this as you are taking the seats back to the helicopter. You see just the three of them doing magical katas.
Yeah, this seems right. Yeah, I think, you know, I'd help him get all this in there and with whatever else they needed. And I would definitely want to get some rest, get in some sleep before, you know, the night comes and all that.
Yeah, I think you could go take a nap at this point because they're going to put the seats in and then they're going to go do a once over on the airplane. I'm not sure there's much that you could help them with that. So Jake, Tass is going to sleep and TJ is still working on the components for this spell. What are you doing?
It's about 7 o'clock. Now in the morning, the sun has come up and Alex has walked you through kind of the initial steps of how to theoretically get this into the air and pilot it somewhat safely in a straight line, and then how to eject. It's going to take a little more time to refine it, but you kind of feel like you've taken in all the knowledge you can take at this moment, you know, when you've studied something real hard for a long time.
Oh yeah, it's like 5 minutes for me.
She's like, okay, so you got to climb in the cockpit.
Too much.
Like,
wait, whoa, stop. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Back it up.
Cockpit? My hand is cramping from all the notes I've taken. I suppose I'll get an early jump on heading back to Chicago.
Yeah, it'll take you from here like 2.5 hours to get there as the Jake flies.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to be there for a while, but I should probably take the time to check in with Ori and talk to him and, you know, get things squared away rather than risk running late.
Okay, so I think that Tass sleeps and TJ continues to work, and we jump ahead a little bit as we follow Jake to Chicago. You have flown for these 2.5 hours. It's about 9:30 in the morning when you arrive.
And I want to say that
8:30 Chicago time.
And I want to say that stretches of this journey, I'm experimenting with all of the different flying positions I've seen in media to see what feels the most comfortable.
Okay.
So at some point I'm flying like the kids on their way to Neverland. And at some point I'm flying like the new bad guy from Megamind, where he looks like he's driving a car in the air.
Yeah.
Just really, you know, stretching my legs here, getting a feel for the space.
And that oddly is the one that feels the best to you, is the one where you're stretching your legs. it is like almost the Megamind one, but it's more like you're riding a motorcycle. So your legs are further out and your torso is further back and your arms are...
It's almost like going down a water slide even.
Yeah. The one that feels the most comfortable is just running in place. But you do land in front of the hotel after about 2.5 hours.
Okay, I will go up and check in with Ori. Actually, first I should pay a visit to the Blood Cafe again, probably to heal up some.
Okay.
I'm still at 2 harm, so.
Yeah, you go into the cafe and you order a drink. It is a different person working the bar. Any particular thing you're looking for?
Nope, whatever you got.
And she holds out her wrist.
And I take my drink.
Yep, so you're able to heal yourself. You take the drink, she heads over and... takes one of the pills and some water, and you head into the elevator. You said you're heading to Ori's room?
Yeah, I'll go check in.
Okay. So you knock on Ori's door, and there's a bit of a pause, and then the door opens, and standing there looking at you is Rachel, and she says, "So, Ori says you've got a story to tell me."
The Crit Show is a Crit Show Studios production, edited and produced by Brandon Wentz, with music by Jake Purley. You can find more information about us at thecritshowpodcast.com. To keep up to date with upcoming live shows, contests, and other special events, follow us at The Crit Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For even more weekly content, join us at patreon.com/thecritshow.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hey, Dad, I've got a question for you, and it makes me really frustrated.
Mikey, the stars are wrong.
He jumped 2.5 times farther than we were supposed
to. He's not a robot, right?
He's an AI.
They used you, yes, but they used me worse.
I want to go home!
How many minutes are in a while?
Ask Your Father is available anywhere you get podcasts. Find out more at GideonMedia.com.